check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
State of Combat podcast on CBS Sports with your boy, the Brian Campbell, Mixed Martial Arts Edition. Sound the alarm. Breaking news. Wow. Get friggin' ready for all things UFC 249. It's on, folks. Next week, location to be determined. Please send the guy the location already. We don't actually know that, right? Sorry about that, Habib. It'll happen though, and we're gonna break it down. Something about Nyland. Wow. You want to talk about unprecedented times from the old boss there?
I'm the boss. It's my way and no other way. End of story.
Yeah. You know? Thank you, Dana. It will be. Can we get tickets to wherever this fight's going to be?
You know, they're selling you all Wolf tickets, people. You're eating them right up.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. You want to talk about unprecedented times, folks. Hope you're doing well. Fighting the quarantine, the coronavirus, global pandemic, mental health. Hope you're doing well. Job-wise, all that good stuff. Stay home. Stay close to the people you care about. FaceTime your friends, all right? Crack a cold one, but not too many, and stick that SOC deep into your ear hole for the absorption of the one and only performance-enhancing audio. It's the cure for the common quarantine. All right, people? Thank you. I can't hold off any much longer without facing the pain and bringing in my co-host, the great Rashad Evans. Off this week, but please check out our content that's floating around. Also, our story time with Rashad episode that launched last week. A little bit of bonus. We went in depth, deep on his victory in the Ultimate Fighter Season 2. You're not going to want to miss that. He peed himself in the cage once. You got to hear all these stories. Check that out. But I do have my other wingman, and it's Brandon Wise, CBS Sports writer, editor, former All-State lineman. Boom. Brando, we are in the age of let me just hit the sound bite here about this upcoming fight card.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Brandon, what the hell's going on here, brother?
Brian, it is good to talk to you. You're my favorite J-hole, and I'm hoping everybody else out there is so happy to hear us talking about actual fights this week, because to be honest, when I went to sleep last night, I was like, all right, we're going to do this. This is going to be fun. Wake up to a few messages from the boys. Dana's getting an island to do these fights. And it's just like, all right, how like, bad can this go?
Where do you even begin? I mean, you know, we'll hit you up with the real news off the top. UFC 249 will go on April 18th. Habib's out. Justin Gaethje in against Tony Ferguson, interim lightweight title bout. Obviously, it's a badass fight. We can go on, which we will, about, you know, is Tony making the right call? People need to get off of Habib and not say he's scared. All that stuff, whatever you believe. But, Brandon, in this crazy, crazy, crazy times, we already know Dana's maniacal. He won't lose. He's a fighter. He's going to find a way. If you would have told me 12 hours ago, or whatever, how long it was, that, hey, BC, when you wake up, like you just mentioned, this man, this friggin' man will, like, you know, I don't know if you prefer Fantasy Island jokes, if you prefer Fire Festival jokes, Brandon Wise.
Andy, we need you to take one big thing for the team. And I said, oh my gosh, I've been taking something for the team every day. He said, well, you're our wonderful gay leader.
No more dick pills.
Indeed,
right?
John. Thank you. I don't know how you want to joke it, but this man is so crazy. He hates the media so much that Dana White is going to put 249 up at an undisclosed location that he has reserved for 2 months. Rumors are it's West Coast. Rumors from ESPN reporting from your Ariel Helwani and company that could be on Native American ground, which, of course, changes the self-regulation. You don't have to use the state commissions. And obviously with the Association of Ringside Physicians just coming out and saying all combat sports should be banned on our recommendation, that's a telling update. But then the extra info of this is for the U.S.-based fights. But for them, fights involving international fighters who can't make it, we're on a boat. No, even further. Play the sound. This is from his interview with Brett Okamoto, and you can hear Brett cracking up during this craziness.
I've also secured an island. I've got an island. The infrastructure is being built right now.
This man, Dana White, is going to – I'm not making up any of this. He is going to purchase an island in the next day, fly fighters to that island, but not tell them the location, okay? I'm sorry, Habib. You're never going to find out the location. Not tell the media or anybody where this location is. Broadcast fights out of there. He claims they'll be tested when they arrive, before the fight, after the fight, but didn't get into specifics. And that business will go on as scheduled, weekly fights starting next week. Brandon, I don't even know how to put my mind around this. Okay, my lethal weapon's my mind. I am like, what horror movie plot is this man cooking up right now?
Can you play that sound again for me, though, please? Him saying he has an island.
I've also secured an island. I've got an island. The infrastructure is being built right now.
Like, he still has the cadence that he always does with the media when he's saying he has a freaking island that he's going to take these fights to.
That's effing illegal.
Like, what are we doing, man? Listen, I love fights. You love fights. This is why we do this. We love the absurdity of some of these events sometimes, right? Like,
I love
you
it.
You got in on the clown show of these celebrity dork fighters from YouTube the first time until you realized, oh God, this is really bad.
I love fighting. I love fighters. I love athletes.
I like you. I like sex. It's nice.
Bro, Andy Silva says, no. Dana say, yeah.
I love it, man.
So here's
Dude,
the deal.
I mean, I made the joke this morning about this, but like, I feel like Dana White's been listening to too much Eminem because he's just been bumping it in his office that this looks like a problem for me. Now everybody just follow me because we all need a little controversy because it feels so empty without me. Like,
you got bars, baby. Wow.
I wasn't reading that at all.
Yeah, that sounded a lot like, remember that time Anthony Joshua, the boxing heavyweight champion, rapped? You remember that? You remember that at all?
I've heard it a few times.
Fighting on June 1st at MSG, Liverpool MC in NYC, holding it down. I ain't a clown. I'm ready to rebound. I'ma knock Miller out around the 8th round. He can't round with the champ. I lick him down like a stamp.
Whoa.
I'm finna knock his head down.
Time out. Hey, yo, what? Trash. Next.
Pause. No, we ain't looking at anybody as a stamp. I mean, we got jokes, and we can make jokes about this.
That's all we can do, man, because we don't know what the hell's going to happen in a few days.
All right, I wanted to be on the right side of history the last few weeks, so I was. I wrote the piece. Hey, Dana, like, what are you doing, bro? The universe is telling you 249 shouldn't go on. Even Habib is like, look, this is ridiculous. Like, just send me the damn location already, please.
If you want to find me, please, just send me location.
But I'll admit this. WrestleMania 36 was this weekend, and that was an unprecedented bag of weirdness to itself, right? Pre-taped, two nights in an empty warehouse, yet the best parts were these friggin' random boneyard matches and all this other weird stuff. But I will say this, Twitter blew up, we got great numbers on CBS Sports, it felt great to be watching something quasi live that you don't know the result, that as a community you can talk about. Like, we can only Netflix and chill for so long, or crack a cold one and chill, or spark a one and chill. I mean, everyone's got their thing they're battling to try to get through this. Long walks. Although, look, anytime you hear encouragement from me, I'm living in the suburbs. I have a fenced-in backyard. I have access to hiking trails. I really feel for anybody in a city in Manhattan right now who haven't left their apartment in like 3 weeks. Like, I understand there's levels to how people are doing this. But even me, Brandon, was getting to the point where I said it on Morning Combat on Monday on Showtime with Luke Thomas. Like, Dana, you wore me down. It's not right. But I want 249. I need it. You're crazy enough to pull it off. Your fighters are crazy enough to want this. We know they're not getting paid regardless, although, again, Ariel did report that the fighters on that canceled London card did get some form of paycheck. I was just at the point where I'm like, if you can pull this off safely, Brandon, then do it, Dana. Just friggin' do it, because I'm going to watch. I'm going to report. And, yeah, it also helps my job as well. I'm not going to lie about that, that these fights are back on. I got cabin fever like a mother, okay? But Brandon, that would suggest that there is, like, transparency here, that there is oversight. And what this has evolved to is almost the opposite of what made UFC what it is today, right? They ran, as Dana says it, ad nauseum. We ran toward regulation, right? That's how they saved the sport. They cleaned it up. Now we're essentially like, regulation saying no, then F you. I fought the law and I'm going to win. We're going to go to insert Native American reservation. We're going to go to private island. And even though he didn't say this, Brandon, and I'm not throwing shade at Brett Okamoto, he did have some counter questions. But look, I don't know if any of you all have noticed ESPN reporters who all, I love them all, great people. They're not saying a thing negative about Dana. So is that coming down from on high? I think you have to guess. Yeah. We have the potential here, Brandon, of an not unregulated, but a self-regulated card, which is not a position where anybody wants a fight promoter to be. You could have UFC supplying their own doctors, referees, judges, all that. And while I'm not saying they will be reckless about it, I'm saying this whole damn idea is reckless. I'm saying that every part about this is out of order.
You are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. They're out of order. That man, that crazy, depraved man, raped and beat that woman there, and he likes it doing it again. He told me so.
That man, Brandon, is out of friggin' order. I don't want to hear another time from him, well, all my fighters know, if you travel with me, you've got the best care whatsoever. You're not even telling the public or the fighters where these fights are. This is legitimately horror movie writing. Like, what is happening here? You can't defend this. Don't even try to defend it. You're out of order.
You know what else that he's going to be able to do if it's a self-governing body? Allow them to do drugs and take steroids, because I'm telling, if I'm, let's say, let's talk
everybody
about Justin Gaethje for a second.
The whole UFC, everybody.
Let's talk about the fact that these guys have not been able to have physical, actual training camps for this fight that's now 11 days away. I'm letting those guys do whatever the hell they need to be ready to fight on next Saturday. Like, legitimate, like, who all the rules are out the window at this point anyway, so why stop there? Because you know who hasn't been knocking on these dudes' doors right now collecting samples? USADA.
Wow.
we've been doing doping from the beginning.
I mean, who's stopping them at this point, right? I mean, like, there is no that, like, we're in a society with no rules right now with the UFC. And I mean, our buddy Brent Brookhouse brought up so many good points this morning. On top of the fact that you could have somebody suffer a severe catastrophic injury, like, are you promising these people that there's a hospital on this deserted island that you're just going to just make in the next, like, month so that they can be okay to help them while the rest of the healthcare system is crumbling around us? You know, like...
You know, I'm not going to get all Luke Thomas on you, and I love Luke Thomas.
That's not even getting Luke Thomas. That's just being like a normal person thinking about like injuries at this point. Because again, Francis Ngannou and Jair Rozenstruiker fighting on this card. That is violence and a half. Somebody is going to end up concussed.
But here's what Luke Thomas ultimately said on one of his many tweets is like, if we're in a sport that's regulated by the government, but we're basically not going to use any regulation, what does this say about the government? Like, what, like, shouldn't somebody step in is essentially what's being said. Now, I understand if you go to Native American ground where they are self-regulated, not under control of a state commission, anything can happen. Look, I've said it. I'll say it again. Tommy Morrison fought an MMA fight with HIV and everybody knew it in like 2010, right? Like, what the hell's going on here? Anything can happen. I mean, the bare knuckle fights happen on unregulated territory, but it's at a point of fearful maniacism that, like, you have to go back to the original question that we did a couple weeks ago when Dana kept pushing Brandon. Why the hell is this happening? Is there some deep-rooted endeavor, financial, ESPN-related reason that they will allow him? That ESPN as a company hasn't stepped up and publicly said, I don't know if we agree with putting this on. Like, is it a financial, deep-rooted reason? Is Dana just a wild man who can't be told what to, like, what is the actual reason we're going through with this exercise when everyone, Brandon, is rightfully not doing anything? And I understand everybody's trying to plan for when they can come back. And Trump had that call with all the commissioners. He wants NFL back. MLB's trying to create their own little biosphere to have the season. I get doing that like a month from now. We're talking about next week. Why is this happening?
Man,
get in that man's head. Get in that bald man's head.
Dude. I mean, shout out, by the way, you mentioned Bare Knuckle FC. That just pinged me really quick. Shout out to Shannon Briggs getting in there right before all of this happened and signing a deal with Bare Knuckle FC.
I love that man, by the way.
Let's go, champ! Let's go, champ! Let's go, champ! Yeah!
Dude, I don't know. Like, it's got to be money. It has to be money-related. Like, as Endeavor continues to hemorrhage money and contracts of workers, like, they must need some sort of back funding. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you can't be the guy who's just like, you know what? All my fighters keep calling me and they want to fight. They want to get out of the house. They want to do this and that, when you're supposed to be the adult in the room and be like, guys, like, this doesn't really make sense. This is a dumb idea. When he's the one telling Brett in that interview, this was the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my entire career of promoting fights. Well, yeah, that kind of makes sense, Dana, when the entire country and the globe right now is shutting down. Like, think about this. They wanted to do that London card, right? The after Brasilia, the London card on March 21st.
Yes.
Boris, I can't remember his last name, Boris Johnson?
Johnson, the Prime Minister of England, yes.
He was the one saying that week, we'll be fine, don't worry about it. He's now in intensive care because he has corona, and it's a scary situation no matter where you are, unless you get a private island that nobody's on right now.
Have you seen that meme that's going around that's true of that mom in Texas and Facebook who put out that long message saying this is all a plot against Trump and all this, and 2 weeks later she died of corona? Like, this is, you know, the idea of just like shaking your head at this. And look, we had last week, we had Uriah Faber on here, we had our own Rashad Evans sort of just saying, look, like, I'd still fight through this. I don't think it's that serious. And I'm not here to tell you that if corona touches your skin, you'll die. I'm here to tell you that there's a level of responsibility as a whole that needs to be going on when you're going to put on something that involves so many people. Our buddy Brent Brookhouse tried to break it down in our private messages of how many people this would actually entail to be on this private island or wherever we are to put this card together. I mean, it's a lot more than 10 in a room, and it's like everyone's got to be safe and treated. Here's Brandon.
I just didn't think that's where you were going to go with that. I thought you were going to give everybody your, like, I lived through this, I survived this corona
stuff. I am patient
zero,
first of all. Okay. Number two, though, here's what I want out of the government. Okay. I want one of two things.
You want government in this now?
I want government in this now, and I want one of two things to happen. Okay, let me get my thoughts together here.
You want John McCain to come back?
Let me get myself ready for this. Okay, here's what I want out of. I'm not getting political, but here's what I want out of our president, out of our government in this situation. Can I stall any longer, Brandon? Please.
You've been going for a minute here.
Stall a little bit longer here. Stay with me, people. Okay, stay with me here.
By the way, Brian is wearing his Hen and Barrow shirt today. He's very happy and proud to wear that, even though I decided against sending him a poster this week.
Of what?
Of Barrow Dillashaw.
Oh, that would have been badass. All right, so here's what I'm basically wanting from – first of all.
If you lose, I get to shave your head.
Oh! Well, Dana's head's already bald, but here's what I really – wow, what a wasted time for that joke. Like, not even worth
it. That was your old plan here.
Why don't we just go back to animal sounds, right? Okay, back to real life.
Is that going
to
be around the cage for this fight? Because I'm here for that.
I think so. I think if you lose, you're voted off the island. here's what I want out of the government. One of two things. One, step in and just basically be like, look, this is a bad idea. It's just not safe. And if ESPN and the powers that be aren't going to get involved, we're just going to tell you, like, dude, wait a month. Wait 2 months. Like, or here's my flip side argument. Said this on Morning Combat. Say it again. Work with the UFC. So what does this mean, Brandon? Allow Dana's original idea to be legalized, which is we're going to put fights on at the UFC Apex, which in some ways was why that place was built, not just to do the Dana White series, but to have a spot where they could self-produce, televise, and shoot out on their own fight pass, you know, their own stuff should the Armageddon hit. Well, the Armageddon did hit in its own way. Allow the fighters to be flown to the PI, live in the bunk beds there, eat, train there, separate the people that are going to fight each other, build the quarantine, and that's your biodome of UFC Village, right? Brandon, isn't that essentially what's going to happen anyway with Private Island, but a much, 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 much safer way to pull this off? It would involve the Las Vegas and Nevada Commission, which are they known for ethics at this point? I mean, come on. They allowed Floyd Mayweather to, you know, wait his jail sentence a month so he can pump in economy for them and fight Miguel Cotto and allow that to be sanctioned. How many, the minimum number of people in a room, and just do the damn fights there. Create UFC Village. If you got a fight in the next 2 months, you're living at the PI, which by the way, fighters are already living there during their training camps for a lot of reasons. Is it that hard to just settle in the middle? If the show's going to go on and we're not going to stop them, then help them. Is that crazy? We're in crazy. It's all out of order. Is that crazy?
Don't play that sound again, please. It's just a mess, man. The whole thing is a mess. There is no right answer when it comes to making this happen because Dana White is a freaking man on a mission. As he told Yahoo Sports last week or 2 weeks ago, I'm relentless when it comes to this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm bleeping relentless. I mean, dude, by the way, if Habib had stayed and they ended up making this fight next week, right? Is it a recognized title fight at that point if the commissions are not involved?
I think that's where UFC jumps in and self-commissions, which is essentially saying whatever grounds we're on, they are the commission. We're handling it. It's a title fight from us. I mean, look, this is... Brandon, this exposes everything. We've seen people tweet out, like, you mentioned earlier, like, why is USADA even a thing anymore if this can happen the way it's happening? You know, it's just exposing it, which is why I'm asking you what's the real reason. And you're right. Yes. None of it makes sense. None of it matters. We do, though, Brandon, have to pause for a cause and hear a word from our friends and sponsors on the other side. We're actually going to try to make sense of this card, which on paper, by the way, pretty damn badass. Okay. We're going to get into that. Enjoy. Dig it.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Yeah, we're back. BC B-dubs. Your boy Rashad Evans on a bye week this week. Shout out to that earthquake survivor.
That's me bringing that heat.
Thank you. Thank you, Rashad. Brandon, to close on the Dana hype, the what the hell is this man doing? You did mention his Yahoo Sports interview with Kevin Ioli. Remember when that was the weirdest thing going on? I didn't even get to play those sound drops that I collected for you last week.
Maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, then the corona's going to get me. All right? It is what it is.
You scared the hell out of me with that.
Maybe he's wrong.
Do it. Do it. Come on. Kill me. I'm here. Come on. Do it now. Kill me.
I've had a great run. Right? If the coronavirus is what's going to get me, let's do it. Bring it. I'm ready, Corona.
I mean, that's pretty.
I'm ready, Corona.
That's pretty damn irresponsible in hindsight.
It's like hiding from cancer. You can't hide from this thing. You can't hide.
can we just?
I'm sorry. I'm ready, Corona. As if this is a main event title fight on UFC pay per view.
Let me bang with somebody. Let somebody stand up and bang with me.
Oh my God! Does that guy sound like? Remember that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Classic claymation show. He sounds like that. The Rudolph. All right. Anyway, one more thing from Dana.
The less the media knows, the better off it is.
ultimately, that's the last thing I want to say on Dana on this point is So if you've listened to all the interviews. I think people incorrectly labeled one rant he did online as him reacting to my guy, Luke Thomas, when in reality, his point of anger, Brandon, is about some dude at Forbes who wrote a story when that news broke about parent company Endeavor laying people off, saying that the UFC will be laying people off. Dana was like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? Why are you celebrating something that's not even true? And since then, he's made this all about us versus them against the media. I cannot believe during these unprecedented times, where regardless of where you stand politically in terms of your scare level of this pandemic, that the media could be at fault. And that, again, we're not going to know the location. He may not even end up telling us, except for the select few journalists that he told Brett Okamoto would be able to join his private plane and cover. Like, this is just, like, to add to the bizarrety of this, the fact that he's basically like, fake news media, I ain't telling you anything anymore. He's only talking to TMZ and ESPN, it seems, at this point.
And Yahoo. But I'm going to do a little journalism spin, and then we're going to make more jokes again. But to say the media is at fault here is just so incorrect. And to just label all of us as the media is just like, it's so tiresome and such an old act at this point, because like, it's one guy. We're media members. We're not the media. And to just keep saying it's the media's fault that this keeps happening is just not true. It's journalists trying to do their job. For him to say that people are calling locations to get these fights canceled is not true. Like, all these guys are doing is calling these places to say like, hey, so is this actually a thing that you guys are going to let happen on your grounds amid a crisis? Like, can I get a comment on that? Like, that's not them calling to shut it down. That's calling to do your job, to ask the questions about what's happening. So that's like where I get so frustrated by all of this, as somebody who studied this in college and just like knows the differences between what's actually real and what's being portrayed here. You know,
that's fair.
Now, I will say this. Who do you think is going to this private island to watch these fights with Dana? Because my money's on John Morgan, yes. Kevin Ioli, and
Brett.
You think Brett?
Raymundi. He's a West Coast dude. I love Mark Raymundi.
I feel like you got a ticket and you're just not telling me.
If I do, it's a Wolf ticket. I've not, you know, no. I don't, this is interesting. My wife and I had a nice talk this morning when we took the dogs on a 4-mile loop. past.
I feel like you're bragging every time you tell me this, by the way.
What? That I'm bragging that I walked 4 miles? I'm walking.
I did 4 miles today, man.
Maybe there's a little, like, you know, maybe there's a little, and they're stopping me from being sloppy fat, just regular fat. And, you know, and she's like, look, you know, I know you're going to have to travel again one day. And I, you know, I'm nervous about it. And I know eventually. And she's like, I hope it's not for a while. I hope it's not for a year. And I'm wondering, you know, we've had this debate before, how much in our life is going to change just from the coronavirus in general? Things that we used to think were important, we won't think is important anymore. Do you think that media will, like, instantly be covering events once they become normalized again, or it could be a while based on either your self preservation preference to stay back, or, I mean, could we be seeing a change for everything? I mean, we're probably going to see empty arena fights for a while. I'm wondering whether we will travel again for a long ass time.
I mean, this is like the biggest debate that people are having in their homes right now, just because there's nothing else you can really do besides just think about the future and think about where we're heading. Like, economy might be in trouble when we get out of this, man. Like, that's the scary part, is like, will there still be fights, but will these fighters be getting the amount of money they should be? Because, like you said, how long is it going to be before you feel comfortable sitting in a 30,000 seat arena filled with people to watch an event again, you know?
Yeah, or on the train to New York City or the subway. And I realize there's 8 million people in New York and they got to get somewhere. So, you know, people are taking the public transportation daily and trying to stay safe. But, you know, when will we feel safe again if we're I'm not a germaphobe to begin with. I wouldn't say I'm reckless. You know, I observe regular hand washing advisories pre-corona, Brandon. But I also, I'm not somebody who puts like 86 sheets of toilet paper down in the public seat. All right, you know what I'm saying? Like, I live and let live.
Way too much information in there.
But I wonder if it's like, man, is it worth me getting in that tube? And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Okay. All you can do is watch your TV and try to guess which channel is telling you the truth, Brandon. Okay. I don't know anymore. I don't have the answers. Final question on Dana, and I mean it this time. If everything that he says he's going to do not only happens, but works, and the fights are badass, which, by the way, Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, has a chance to, like, be the fight of the year, fight of our lifetimes. You know, you never know with psychopaths like that. Is there any chance Dana comes out of this as an app, not only as an absolute hero who took a giant gamble but pulled it off because of money and infrastructure, but that it ultimately leads to sports coming back sooner than they would because Dana could draw big ratings and an eventual pat on the back from fans who were like, hey, it's not me going to the private island. I'm just watching this hair fight. Crack me another cold one, baby. Give me that champagne of beers. Let's do this thing, all right? Somebody get Jack Crosby on the line. Grab me a black and tan Yingling, all right? Let's do this thing. Could we be seeing Hero Dana by the end of it?
Wouldn't that be Vince, though? Because WWE technically never went away.
Yeah, but it's still WWE. We're talking about real sports here, all right?
I guess, but I mean, I don't think anybody's ever going to call Dana White a pioneer of sports, maybe of combat, but not of sports. Look, man, like, there's just so many risks involved in this that there's no way they come out of this completely unscathed, right? Like, there's got to be like a 0.1% chance of them getting out of this, everybody healthy, relatively healthy, and nobody getting sick, nothing catastrophic happening.
Wow, this is wild.
Also, by the way, hosting Justin Gaethje and Tony Ferguson in an empty arena is a disservice to both of those guys. I'm just going to say that now.
Well, fighting in general in an empty arena, to be fully honest with you, is you know, it translates better in real fighting than it does in WWE, which it translates really bad. But still, it's not the best. It's not the best. But it is what it is, Brandon. And this card obviously bangs. Like, you got to be honest with yourself. This card bangs. They took fights that would have been on some of these other fight nights. They bumped it all in together. They got everybody who could legally travel. And here's what it looks like. Let's start at the top. Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje for an interim lightweight belt. Yes, it's weird that Ferguson got stripped when he got hurt and it wasn't his fault that last time, and he can become a two-time interim champ. Either way, the winner's getting Khabib, and rightfully so. But this fight on paper, Brandon, is just violence personified. The risk. What's Tony? What is Tony's real motivation here? Just that I'm a warrior? Just that I already put in the camp? Just that, you know, they're probably throwing me some extra money to hang around and fight Gaethje? Like, the fight, the good news is, Brandon, that it's not what you predicted, which was like Tony Ferguson against some minor league guy who was able to step up and fill in, right? Like, was that you who made that joke?
That was you!
Who made the LFA champion joke? The Patrick Cummins barista joke?
Oh, yeah. No, that was Brent. Brent was telling us that.
Shout out to Brent Brookhouse. It's an actual real fight, and it's the guy in the title picture in the historically deep division who was going to be the bridesmaid inevitably, Justin Gaethje, who's coming off of 3 first-round knockouts, who looks amazing. It's actually an awesome fight. What will... I don't know. Like, are you going to question Tony Ferguson at all?
Well, I would just say this. That no matter how you want to frame what happened here and how we're in this position now, the UFC fell ass backwards into the perfect situation. And this is what you had talked about before, but the way that this has ended up now, where you could have this play out as Tony, Justin now, Khabib, Conor in August, and the winner of these two fights facing in like November or December, if they can get this far along the line, as a mini semifinal and final of a tournament, if you would call it that, like, that's perfect. This is what it should have been from the beginning. Maybe not this matchups, but for this to be like what they end up getting, like, they fell into it, and it's amazing because all four of these guys could hold titles right now. According to you, I don't think Conor could hold the title right now. But this is like the four best fighters at lightweight right now, all going to go head-to-head at some point in the next 8 to 12 months, and it's going to be fire no matter how they fight and no matter where they're fighting.
Conor can hold the title, first of all, so take that back, okay? I mean,
he can't beat any of those three guys, no.
He could. Look, Conor's going to be a wild card. You have to understand and tell yourself, Brandon, that he wasn't Conor in that Khabib fight. Once you realize that he was partying up a storm and all kinds of arrogant, and it's obviously a bad style matchup for him, I'm not saying beating Cowboy shows that you're all the way back, but you got to understand he's going to be better than he was that night. I mean, come on, Brandon.
I am his daddy.
Okay, first of all, take that. Second of all, you're right. It's going to play out. Look, if Tony Ferguson loses here, and I think rightfully so, you can question if it's the right move. I said that for the Pettis fight. I said that for the Cerrone fight. He's on the doorstep of Khabib, and he took chances, and he won those. And he may take a chance here, and he may become a star from this. Who knows? But if he loses, it's kind of what the UFC would want, I think. Not that Justin Gaethje is 100 times more marketable than Tony. He's not. But I think if Justin beats Tony here, you go right into Khabib Conor if you're UFC. And you don't think twice. And if you listen to that Brett interview with Dana, he kind of says it. So at first he tells Brett, yeah, the winner has to get Khabib next. It has to happen. It has to happen. It's going to happen, you know, in the late summer, fall. But then Conor was brought up and Dana's like, oh, you know, this is tough because, you know, they'd have to fight first and then fight Conor. Dude, I'm telling you right now, if Justin Gaethje wins the interim title, Conor's getting Khabib in August. Like, wake up, okay? Controversial decision or not, that's what's going to happen. So in a weird way, not only is Tony Khabib cursed, critically it's the fight we want and need. Historically it matters, but if you're UFC, like, does it? You give them credit for them going out of their way to make it so many times, but I don't think it's a fight they ever really wanted or needed.
Are you crazy?
Dude, they want...
Like, are you serious right now that they never wanted this fight?
Okay, right now, I mean. Because they did it because they have to. Because they don't want to risk the Conor Khabib 2 rematch. They don't want to. Tony's a big risk, but they had to give him that. So I think secretly when Dana's on his island, surveying the land, looking for people to take one for the team, he's probably like, well, you know, Tony's a psychopath. If he wins, then he'll have earned it triple times. But if he loses, oh, big deal, Connor, you're in. That's all I'm saying on that. But let's not cloud what this is. A badass matchup. Yes, there's questions of a short training camp, all that, but these two are psychopaths. They're going to go in there. They're going to bang. It's going to be fantastic. I don't know who's going to win. Head-to-head, I like Ferguson better. But I think the weird elements of all this, empty arena, location, all that stuff is going to make this a wild card situation. And it's going to be a savage fight, which leads me to this topic, Brandon. Dana White tweeted out live on ESPN. But everywhere else, it's live on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. So, does that tell you that this entire... What's that look for? Tell me
about
that.
I didn't understand what you're saying. So you're saying it's live on ESPN in the U.S.?
No. Dana tweeted out when he announced it yesterday that it's live on ESPN. Subsequent tweets by UFC and everyone else revealed, no, it's actually on ESPN pay-per-view.
I thought he said ESPN Plus pay-per-view on his tweet.
No, he said live on ESPN. So right away, I'm like, oh my God, they're going for it. And what going for it means is if we're the only game in town and there's a lot of talk, good and bad, about what we're doing, if we put this main event on ESPN free, we have a chance to do a sick rating with the ad. Look, if you're going to, Brandon, if you have friends that don't watch UFC and you're like, oh, watch Ferguson Gaethje, they're going to be a fan afterwards. And you know that. Like, it's one of them fights. It's a Gotti Ward, Corrales Castillo. It's one of them fights. The fact that it's going to be a pay-per-view and that the numbers might end up getting hurt because neither of these guys are like household names to casual fans. Does this tell you that we're only going through this exercise because of the money that Endeavor might need or that ESPN and them together might be saying we need? Because if you put this on regular ESPN and money wasn't your short-term consideration, just long-term, think of the fan base you can build with this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, if this was on regular ESPN, I would venture to say that given the lack of content on TV right now or live sporting content, you could guesstimate maybe 3 million viewers if you were just throwing a number out there for regular ESPN that night.
But there'd be no ceiling, though. There'd be no ceiling at the potential because you're using SportsCenter. Bro.
But there is because did you see what they announced yesterday, by the way?
Say it out loud if you really want to bring it to the table.
That the World Health Organization and like every major network is coming together on Saturday night, April 18th, to do like a live telethon concert.
We are the world.
Hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert.
I'm sure there's a way that if that's an 8 o'clock start, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so there is a bit of a ceiling no matter what you do here.
You just think about it, though. When you have the ESPN vehicle to promote it, and you're telling everyone it's free, and you're not wasting time on SportsCenter – wasting time is the wrong word. You're not spending time on SportsCenter telling people that this is a bad idea to do this, that there's potential concerns to do this, and you're just like, badass fight Saturday night for free, only live sport in town, don't miss it. You have a chance to do stupid numbers, bro. You do. Let's talk about the rest of this card because it slams, bro. It bangs. This co-main event just caught Andrade, Rosenstein, and Yunus. Rematch of their title bout. I love it. To me, it could have headlined. Maybe not on pay-per-view, but this is a badass championship-level fight. I love it, Brandon. I love it. Dana said no, no, no. BC said yes, yes, yes. Love it. Can't wait to see if Rose is back.
Well, this was always going to be the co-main event for this card. The fact that they were able to get Rose and Jessica to still agree to this is like mind blowing to me, just because Rose to me, like, it's not a psyche thing, but it always feels like she kind of needs everything to be perfect.
Yes.
Where she's in control of the environment and she's in control of what's going on to do these kinds of things. And this feels like so out of character for her to say, you know what? Let's do this. I need to fight again. I need to get my not sanity back, but I need to get my feeling of invincibility back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, fair. Like I need to get my air of personality. You know what I'm trying to say. And to do this against Jessica, who we know is a muscle and a half, just in there, just out there to straight throw hands, it's going to be a good fight. By the way, Tony, according to William Hill Sportsbook, is minus 175. Justin is plus 130. And Rose is minus 195. Ooh. Jessica is plus 165.
Good. Once again, given the uncertainties of this situation and the unprecedented nature, betting on this is going to be fun if you are a better, because anything can happen here. I'm going to read you the rest of the card, Brandon, fight by fight, and I want you to tell me whether the fight bangs or it wangs. And I think you understand what I mean by wangs, okay? Bangs or wangs. Here we go. Heavyweights, Greg Hardy versus Jorgen De Castro.
Jorgen De Castro bangs, by the way. He just – remember he was on 243?
No.
He was the feature bout?
No. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. He's not in my memory banks, okay?
I mean, Greg Hardy bangs too, but you know,
the
that's
fight
a different –
bang or wang? Come on. This isn't supposed to be a long exercise. Oh, God, wang. Okay. welterweights on the pay-per-view card, Vicente Luque versus Nico Price.
Bang!
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang!
Okay. Jeremy Stephens in the pay-per-view opener against Calvin Kattar.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Seriously, right? Wow, love that fight. Come on, it bangs, right? Give it to me, Brandon.
I thought you just had a stroke.
Yo, 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 relax.
It bangs. It bangs, bro.
Yes, it bangs.
Okay, preliminary card main event. Oh, my God. Francis Ngannou, Jair Rozenstruik. Wow.
Bang, bang.
Wow, Brandon.
I'm going to have to watch that fight, like, with my hands over my face just because I'm afraid of the violence that is going to come of that.
Wow.
Also, that is going to sound ridiculous in an empty arena.
Yes.
If one of those dudes lands clean.
Yes, that S ridiculous, right? Right?
Are you doing a Missy song?
I hope not. middleweights. Jacare Souza, Uriah Hall, Brando, banger wang, bro.
Bang, bang.
No, don't give me that. Don't give me that half mass. No, that bangs. That fight name fighters, it bangs. Okay, I love it.
Oh, but, name fighters means it bangs. Yeah, they're both also like 40.
Sometimes that means that. Lightweight Alexander Hernandez back against non-Wikipedia page member Omar Antonio Morales Ferrer.
Wang. By the way, can we tell the people about what happened last night when we saw that come up as Morales? And we were both like, who's Morales? And
I thought it was Moraes. So I'm like, oh, that's the other Moraes, the bad one. No. Okay. Bantamweights, Marlon Vera versus Ray Borg. It's kind of a half banger, right?
I mean, you want to talk about name fighters. That's name fighters right there who bang.
Give me this fight. The preliminary card main event on UFC Fight Pass. Michael Johnson versus Kama Worthy. Yo, bro.
Bang, bang, bang.
Try and stop me. Bang. That's a bang fight.
When is the last time Michael Johnson fought?
I mean, you know, he loses a lot against great competition, but
it just feels like he hasn't fought in a while, and all of a sudden he just makes a random appearance again on this card.
He last fought last October. He has lost 5 of his last 7, 7 of his last 10. I mean, look, it's been a, you know, I mean, he did knock out Dustin Poirier and beat Touchy Feely during that. Hey, by the way, did you watch that link yet for Mr. Faber's movie, Green Lust?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Bro, I'm telling you, April 14th, again, reminder to the people out there, you can download or stream, or I don't know how things work anymore, Green Rush, Mr. Faber's movie, Touchy Feely's in it. It's a thriller, Brandon. A weed thriller, okay? Okay?
Sure.
It's inappropriate at times. It's awesome.
Oh wow. My goodness gracious.
My gosh. That's inappropriate to say.
That's assault, you guys.
There's a few of those moments in there, Brandon. Let's close
out. By the way, is Rogan actually not going to call this card now that he might know where the location is? Like if this actually is in California, like I feel like that's not far from where he lives.
Then can I tell you the news that Dana was asked that by TMZ and he said that's absolute bullshit. Here's what he said. He said Rogan was writing that on his podcast. He said writing, by the way. And then the media just wrote that as fact. He said Joe will absolutely be there. He was writing that on his podcast, Brandon.
Okay? He was writing. He didn't say it. He wrote it on his podcast.
Unbelievable, by the way. All right. Give me this. Wang or Bang, women's bantamweights. Sajara Eubanks versus Sarah Morris. Sarah Morris. So against Sarah. Sajara against Sarah.
Sajara. It's a good fight, Brian. I'm not going to use the framing that you gave me for that fight.
All right. Lead off fight. Light heavyweights. Ryan Spann versus Sam Alvey. You know what?
You are so desperate for fights that you're saying a Sam Alvey fight is good.
Hey, so this guy Ryan Spann, just so you know, has won 6 in a row, including a KO of Lil Nog, all right?
Yeah, he's probably going to send Sam Alvey to hell.
Yes, yes. But that's payback for Sam Alvey beating Rashad, all right?
Okay.
Protect the people on your own show, Brandon, okay? Love and protect them, please, all right?
It was a bad decision.
If he was a girl, you would say he has a badonkadonk. This tattoo's got some thick legs.
That was a little weird, right?
Hey, can we talk about the other breaking news that we had last night?
What do you got?
That we're getting another episode of Tiger King?
Now, here's you're saying because Jeff Lowe said it in an interview. That's what
everybody's saying that it's true.
So is it new stuff?
It wasn't an interview, by the way. Sorry, it wasn't an interview. It was a cameo video.
By the way, I do have to shout out David Spade on his at-home video podcast. He's had like every character on except for the jet ski guy.
Oh, James Gerritsen.
Yes. So is it? Are they going to use all the leftover footage to make a new episode?
I don't know. I think this one's supposed to look more at like Jeff Lowe's life and like how disgusting and creepy he is, but I don't know.
Did you watch David Spade's interview with Joe Dirt's first husband with no teeth, who has teeth now? It's sad. It leads you to believe that, as we already know, when he was married to Joe, he was doing heavy amounts of meth and he wasn't actually a man who prefers the pleasure of another man. Just hearing him talk, it was just sad. I mean, there's a lot of sad in that whole thing. I'm going to say this, though. Like, I do believe, as brilliantly as that was put together and presented, and even though I believe that most, if not everyone that was interviewed, except for the guy with no legs, has legitimate issues, like whether they're straight illegal or straight moral questions or just creepers, I believe they sensationalized the balls out of that. Because if you listen to or watch that Bhagavan Doc Antler interview with Theo Vaughn, he kind of comes off as a good dude who's like, no, I don't have 9 wives. I was married once. And you know, Carol Baskin, for all her weirdness, and she probably did feed her husband to a tiger, she comes across as almost ethical in the post interviews as well. So it does lead you to believe. I mean, look, they made Joe Exotic like a lovable character who you almost feel bad for in that movie when he's probably the worst person except for Jeff Lowe in the whole film.
I mean, that was your takeaway. I mean, I didn't think Joe was very likable at all in any point during the movie. Like, he's a psychopath. Like, what are you saying is likable about him? That he shot a blow-up doll that he called Carol Baskin on live?
That you feel bad for him because he went to jail and everyone else got off and did better from this experience, mixed with that there's certainly a charm level with him. Like, God, he's a creeper. But there's some level of, like, I can't stop looking at this guy. Like, yeah, there's pity involved, but he's entertaining as heck.
Sure. He's not somebody who should have ever had 200 tigers in his property and in his ownership. How about that?
Like, the reality is that he drugged all these, like, vulnerable young men to be his free workers and husbands. And yet I almost feel bad that none of them actually enjoyed his you know where I'm going with it. Like, somehow they made you feel bad for this creeper Joe Exotic. It's weird. Dude, that whole film is a damn mind F, and you know it is, Brandon. It's just like, you go through some weird emotions watching that.
Listen to the Wondery podcast. It's a guy is doing basically the same reporting that the Tiger King documentary did, except he got there in 2018 when Jeff Lowe like had just showed up, and his stories are really good.
All right, I'll check that out.
He did an interview with John Finley, the toothless man that you were just talking about. Talked a lot about Prince Albert's. I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Please leave that there, because I'm not touching that at all. Okay,
there's a beautiful aroma that arouses
me. I'm not smelling it either. Brandon, quick news around the horn here. Did you get a chance to check out Anthony Smith's story that he told Ariel Helwani of ESPN? How on Sunday, in the middle of the night, a man broke in and was like in his computer room, and Anthony got woken up by his wife, and his mother-in-law was there and his children, and he attacked the guy, and the guy clearly had to be on some kind of PCP or something, because Anthony described that it was like the fight of his life to keep this guy off of him and detain him until the police came. Damn, what a scary and well-detailed story. I mean, Anthony Smith told you every inch of that fight, what he was thinking during it. Damn, bro, that's some random scary stuff. It's just some creeper who stalked into a house but didn't try to steal anything and was just lingering.
Like, as a new homeowner, that is like something I am terrified by every night. Like, just because it's a new area, I don't know anybody in the area. We lock the doors, obviously, but every time I hear a noise or anything, I'm always just like, okay, do I need to go fight somebody for my life right now? Like, it's not to that level, but good Lord. We make a lot of jokes about Anthony Smith on this show and in private, but like, dude, this guy's like legit. Like, he needs to catch a break at some point here.
He could have been your light heavyweight champion if he went through with that disqualification, all right? It's the truth, but in his house, we must protect this house, and he did that.
In my home, this is my home right here. This is America Top Team. Don't disrespect me in my home.
I love King Mo. I love that man. He's a good dude, yo. All right?
He is.
Okay, thank you.
He hung on way too long.
I mean, that happens. Great. He's a good coach. You know, he cares about the people. You know what I'm saying? You can say come on, King Mo, all you want.
Come on, King Mo. Come on, man.
All right, but I'm not going to let you do that. Hey, we got news on your boy,
I thought you were trying to say Shogun.
No, Shago Santos, right? Is that my Shutterbox Jujutsu? That's how you say it, Shago Santos, right? Maheta?
I was going to say, you like him by another name.
Maheta. What do you think that man just said?
As you said after that show, kill Whitey.
I gotta add that to the soundboard. Yes. The news, Brandon, is that Yana Kunitskaya, right, who once got sent to hell by Cyborg, posted a picture of them, like, where they were basically making love in a phone booth. Is that what happened?
It looked like a Days of Our Lives like photo shoot of some sort, where Maheta is wearing jeans and nothing else, and she's like in a, I don't even know what it was, like a lingerie top or a robe. I don't know, but it was very sexual and sensual. And now she's pregnant. Imagine that.
And all the sex I've been getting.
Shout out to Maheta on that, right? Right, bro?
Shout out to Yana. I mean,
shout out to Joseph Benavidez, right? Right?
Making that happen. Like I said, they're going to make some beautiful, terrifying babies.
Terrifying is a good word. Shout out to Yana Kunitskaya. Did she ever beat anyone? She's 30-year-old from Russia.
I mean, she got to a title fight.
That wasn't really deserved. I mean, her nickname is Foxy, Brandon. She got stopped by Aspen Ladd in December after a 2-fight win streak. Okay.
Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. We wish them well, okay? Good for your friend Mackenzie Dern on Instagram these days, okay?
My friend?
Yes. do you think they should? I did a rant on this last week. Do you think they should or will strip John Jones?
Oh, God. Thanks for giving me that one to unpack at the end of the show. I think they should cut John Jones, but I also don't think that that will do anything because that would just mean John Jones gets signed by Bellator or PFL.
They would never cut him. So take that off. Get away from that, please.
Stripping him doesn't do anything, though. The only way that you deal with him is the way that Nevada has tried to deal with him, even though the UFC is like, okay, haha, we're going to go to Vegas or we're going to go to LA and do this fight instead of doing it in Vegas and giving you guys the money for it. You know, like, this is where you need like a universal sanctioning body that can take his license away for a year or 2 years and make sure that he has to focus on getting clean.
And probably not going to happen anytime soon because island fights are coming, brother. There's no rules. So get on the plane, Johnny boy. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know that there's an actual promotion called Island Fights,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's why it was weird when Dana said that in the TMZ interview. He's like, yeah, we're going to put on our own Island Fights. It's just like, oh, God. All right. In closing, I love fights, okay? I respect box. I respect – where's Triple G? Please, just do it for me.
I respect box. I respect everybody. I respect everybody. Athletes.
I respect athletes. So – if the fights are going to happen, I'm certainly going to watch them. I'm no hypocrite. I'm going to watch them, okay? I'm going to cover them. It's my job. But this is wild, unprecedented times. We thank you all for listening, of course.
I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to sit out with my friends and family. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight. See y'all later.
I mean, Brandon, there's not much else to do these days. Shout out to the State of Combat listeners. Thank you. Thanks. Even the creepy ones. Thank you, all of you. Continue to hear our stuff. We got a boxing episode this week. Go back and check out Rashad Evans reliving his Tough 2 experience last week. We got great interviews. And Bob Arum on last week. Come on, you got to check that out. Teofimo Lopez Jr., the unbeaten rising boxing lightweight star, will be on that pod this week. Check out what stuff I'm doing on Morning Combat with our friends at our Showtime Brethren's Friday night, Brandon, 10 p.m. Eastern, Corrales Castillo 1 and 2 on Showtime. Luke and I on Morning Combat's going to do a little fight companion action on YouTube during it. Crack a few cold ones. Do you care at all about Corrales Castillo? Come on.
I heard that wasn't that good of a fight.
God. You think, first of all, if you think Tiger King's overrated, if you didn't enjoy the second season of The Wire or the third season of Ozark, okay, get off my timeline, okay? Please, come on. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here. I don't have time for this. I don't want this, all right?
Ryan Bader, Shibaka Sokora.
Yeah, Ryan Bader.
What was that?
Shibaka Sokora, okay? I'm not Ryan Bader, right?
Guess what? I'm not Ryan Bader. My word. I'm not Ryan Bader.
All right? Thank you. All right? Don't boo me. Please, Brandon, okay? All right? No, sir. There were many things that didn't work on this show, but you know the next part of that, right? Right, Brandon? Yes, you do.
But you know what?
What, Jake?
I'm rock hard right now with emotion. I got a phoner.
Yeah, okay. All right, come to the island, Jake, if you really care, okay? Okay, because it's coming. It's coming for you, Brandon.
Maybe I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, then the corona's going to get me, all right? It is what it is.
Do it. Do it! Come on!
Brandon, do you have any final thoughts for the people?
Oh, God. I'm so tired. We're going to go through these fights like in depth next week with Rashad, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Just because we kind of just scrolled through them now. But if this is still on next Tuesday when we do this podcast, I mean, this could be fun.
Could be fun.
This could be weird, but it'll be fun.
We got all kinds of listeners. Black folks love us too.
Black folks love me, man. Black girls love me too, man. I get hit on by black girls all the time. I'd be like, ooh, I'll be showing my nipple. I'll be doing my nipple dance.
Brandon, you want to do your nipple dance or anything? Anything else? Okay, I'm gonna shut the shit down. Anything else? Okay.
Shut it down.
Yes, shut it down.
Shut it down, Gordon Ramsay.
Yes, thank you. I've got two words. We out.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
New NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.